Thanks, Paul, for the invite. Much appreciated. Great to be here. 4 years on the planet. First time in Cork. So I'm working on three projects at the moment. Three different small books. So I'll draw a snippet of each. One book is on human conflict and conflict and human conditions and stuff. Another book is on relationships and breakups and all that sort of stuff. Another one is on home and family and stuff. So I don't know where to start tonight, so I'll just start picked on the conflict. It's a bit more depressing than start. So with that book that's on different conflicts and our human conditions and stuff, I take stories from around the world and I just make poems of them. So this one's from an interview in Algeciras, and just an interview with Forrest, so it's called Efflorescence. Once a florist offers settlements to soldiers beyond the fence in remnants of times of peace. Once a florist offered coffee and biscuits for children building sand dams from the rubble of tenements. Once flowers grew wild on the streets, in the gardens, on the roads, hills and mountains where they bloomed and perfumed for the people. Once a florist offered settlements, offered reason in a scene of petals and chewed the essence to the soldiers fearing the darkness, to the children trying to make sense of the boom and the boom and the boom and the flowers that once bloomed, and the tulips laid to rest on the chest of the florist who offered peace with coffee and settlements. Thank you. This is called Homebird, and it's from a story from New Scientist magazine about children that work in coca plants. Homebird. Because my brother homed and sang the most beautiful music, we nicknamed him Hummingbird. Since hummingbirds are tiny, love red, love sleeping or dancing, he liked this name. As worker bees rose when we rose, when the sun rose, we shared the same morning scent of flowers and scars upon our bodies. Most mornings meant climbing and chopping and picking and stacking until a bit of breath of evening cooled our calloused hands. As we consumed our corn paste and bananas, our wood lice and flies, as we argued what was the importance of the seeds within the cocoa fruit, hummingbird hummed and sang, staring towards the blue sky. Even at night, as the trees whispered stories and the earth clenched the necks of 18 frightened boys, we hearkened to the songs of our mothers from the sweet lips of hummingbird, incarcerated from the breeze and stars. Because one afternoon my brother chose to sleep beneath the leaves of the cocoa tree, he was beaten to death with some branches and the chain of a bicycle that was promised as his wage. Now that the silence is a shadow lingering behind fear, between lips, between the chomp of our machetes and the bean pods. The trees hum, the leaves hum, the bees hum, the earth hums, all through the day, long into the night. Thank you. It's called There Are Certain Things You Should Know. Perhaps John's message of imagination did not puncture as many brains as it should have. What if you take the time to breathe, to ponder, and stop whatever it is you are doing, and imagine the loss of coffee or a warm bed? Imagine no fields or corn or flowers, no fields. Imagine no TV, the horror of no Facebook, no playgrounds for children to run wild, no running water to wash for a feed, no food, and the breath of coming winter arriving in the back of army trucks. Imagine the knocking on doors, the boots of soldiers tromping through your house. Imagine a fence full of teeth trapping you in like a group of farmed pigs, and a piece of paper directing every step you take. Imagine the stench of unwashed feet, no clothes or shoes, no closets. Imagine half buildings with holes, or the wail of sirens screeching like a newborn. Imagine sewers stuffed with unclaimed dead, the lingering stench of burned flesh and warm feces. Imagine a toolbox of rape, blades and stolen shoes carried from town to village on the backs of a father or a brother, a rebel or soldier. Imagine broken dollhouses and stained lily dresses, busted footballs, electric wires squirming like snakes, and an emptiness dressed in a shroud of silence, standing over an infant unaware of its dead mother. Imagine hatred for breakfast and the contemplation of revenge, the ticket motor of the pocket watch. Imagine, it's easy if you try. This is a letter to bullshit on the internet, and it's in memoriam of King Jong Un, who's actually not dead. Dear facts. I read the other day that he fired a man with a flamethrower, scooping up the ashes with his fingers. I read that he fed an ant to pet mice, letting each mouse nibble at feet and hands until mice rolled over with fat bellies and mouths full of flesh. It is stated, as fact, that he kidnapped a South Korean director to make his own Godzilla movie coming soon. I read somewhere that the key to winning Olympic gold medals for the North Korean athletes is refrigerators for winners, labour camps for losers. I read this. It must be true. It is said that each male must cut their hair to his style, that women must wear trousers, and fashion is the work of some evil. Rebels will be executed on the spot, method unknown as of yet, until I read it. I have read once again online that he has fed an uncle to dogs, had officials executed by the flamethrower or bombing them to smithereens, that he despises fruit, especially oranges, and has banned any living creature from ever eating. Punishment, to be rolled up in carpets and trampled with horses. I have read all this. It must be true. This next one I've done as an exercise where you have to make a rhyme, make a song out of it without rhyming any words, so it's tricky but it works. So it's a four, oh, and also was on a video I watched on LiveLeak, which is pretty horrible, so maybe, well, I'll read it anyway. Sorry. A father calls to his child on LiveLeak. Wake up, child, wake up, cries the father to his child, beneath the torn and tattered buildings, within the dust and shattered stone. Just above his bloody waistline, to his chest he holds his child, to his breast he finds a pieces of a heart and of a mind. Wake up, child, wake up, 2G4 they blow again, in the background loud explosions, where the father holds the hand of the child he tries to wake, for the doll within his hand. See the doll he got you, son, see the doll he got you, son. Now wake up, child, wake up, but his child lay stone cold dead. In his arms he cannot see the back of the head that is not there. And the night will fall in screaming, and the dawn will snap in two, and the bombs will keep on feasting. Wake up, child, wake up. So just moving on to something else I'm working on, like, booking else, like, using all body parts, and just must have about 100 done now. But just for a different part of relationships or etc. So this one's called Chest, and it's after Charles Simic, and it's just about having a chest infection trying to sleep. Chest. Sweet Jesus, you are all invited. The mouth is now open and the cave of the chest awaiting the line of knife visiting bastards. The swordsman with crooked teeth continuously stabbing the thin air. The fire juggler, the knife thrower, the swarm of flaming bees. You are all invited. The mouth is now open. Even you, mother of madness, with your trembling lips of dynamite. Even you, child, two doors down in love with the techno beat. You're all invited to strike the match, ignite my chest, so that my eyes explode to trawl through the darkness in search of something cold, something to extinguish this fire-breathing joint of sleeplessness. Thank you. I witnessed a lad walk into the sea when I argued with his girlfriend on the phone, threatening to kill himself, etc. But in Galway, there's a lot of that, and I always imagine that there's a lot of drunkenness and people having arguments, and contributes to the suicide rate in Galway at the moment. So this is called Lungs, my imagination of an argument. Lungs. We breathe. Another war has broken the night in two. The cracked moonlight has smashed glass all over the table. I never asked you to walk into the sea. 11:05, the war crackling like burning wood in our throats. Smoke punching the ceiling from our mouths two fists locking lips, so we breathe. In, out, in, the taste of blood drowning out the fire. Did I say we breathe? What I meant was, I stuck the tip of my tongue into my bloody cracked tooth, searching for the taste of you, the taste of war, the war between the tick of the clock, screaming, don't leave, and the talk stopped dead at 11:05. But you leave, and I plead you to stay. It's only chunks of moonglass on the table, shattered like your bones upon the rocks. I ask you not to walk into the sea. One's about just a missing toenail that I lost in Loch Rage that I don't know how it happened, but it's simply called toenail. Your entrance displays the presence of a ballerina, O leaves, with your brown coats and fine stitching, swirling as if chasing around the tips of my feet, once shoeless, red and naked. You may have noticed, O leaves, my missing toenail, some outer skin quivering in the wind, my matrix exposing itself. I seem to have misplaced it, this minuscule piece of keratin, perhaps lodged in the wooden leg of my waiting desk, kicked this morning on a call, or at the bottom of my wet sock. But you ignore everything, O leaves, exiting, tipping the wood of the bench with your ballet shoes, leaving me throbbing beneath the grumbling, gossiping trees. Fist. Easy now that. Stir that tea with conviction. You've got on late, you know. It's okay. Your neighbour is used to doors slamming and footsteps down the hall. Sure, if they complain, show them your school collection or missing teeth. That's just the way it goes, my friend. One minute, love fills the air in abundance, and the next, well, you know, the clock screams and your knees snap as you collapse to the ground to pray to a God you don't believe in. Get up. Come on, up. Tip that ceiling with your chin. You got legs to rebuild and trauma to crush your hands. You're made of wine and earth, my friend. Show the world. See the crow outside in the rain, two fucks it gives in the wetness, and look how it bobs its head in disbelief at your state. She's gone, and the clock still screams and the rain pours, and this room still shivers from that door slam. It's going to be a long year, my friend. Let's buy new shoes to dance in. Wrote this one when my mother was in hospital sick, so it's called Fingers. Today I noticed something for the first time, that the world is old and slipping from the cup of your hand. See, I noticed as you slept, you have lost all the petals of your flower, your head drooped tipping your shoulder, I softly kissed your cheek. It was your fingers that gave it away, long and thin like pieces of bog oak, curled, twitching, as if you were dreaming, dancing on shore around our kitchen, cradling the sweeping bush. And I, as a child, part of your leg, dancing too. Perhaps when you wake, we can become two shadows flickering in the light around the room, and the night can spit shards of crystal upon the floor for us to sweep at our feet. But for now, the thin stalks of yellow fingers stay closed like a sleeping flower, and I watch and watch you dream, dream dancing with your child in your arms, your fingers brushing my cheek. Begin with an offering, your body bare and restless, arch like a crescent moon. Offer her your arm, let it act like a vine cradling the trunk of a tree. Perhaps she will accept this gesture and turn face toward you, face your face, place answers in the seawater of your eyes. Perhaps this time she will embrace the stroke of fingertips, shiver uncontrollably at the brush of nails racing down her spine. It all begins with an offering. Slight movement beneath sheets, between tires, between lips, the heat between separated bodies, both conscious of the absence and the morning ritual gone stale. When two people forget to dance, the kisses, the tearing with teeth, forget to touch each other. Moving on again to another book I'm working on, so this is. I don't know if anyone's familiar with the musical Poppy Ackroyd, probably not. But she wrote cleanest piece about feathers, and I got really inspired and I wrote one simple poem about a feather, so very simple image. Feather. It falls, spirals, right before your eyes, as if the wind has hands composing some invisible masterpiece. It slides through the air, through the light, leaving traces of shadow upon the wall. So gentle, like the thin fingers of a pianist, punched, skittering the black and white keys. The music you can hear, so clear it hums, tiptoeing through the air. Key by key it descends, until it hurls itself upon the ground, shivering, waiting for the blue lips of the wind to suck it back with a deep inhale. The black and white, white black of the vein, swirling in the hands of the soloist. It's a love poem of two people just briefly have that moment, fall in love, and never seeing each other again. Listen, and you can hear it in the storm. She comes on the same night of the storm, on the same night you decide to drink in the company of others. She comes like the farthest lightning slap you can hear in the distance. She comes, the night sky, a blink of light, a slash of a silver sight. Slicing the sky, she comes out of the bar, her eyes two stars flickering. Yours are yours, the roar of the thunder fist punches you in the face, slaps the butterflies raging around your gut. She comes as lightning paints the night white for a moment. For a moment you are lost, for a moment you smell the coming rain and her perfume. Her perfume, she comes to say hello. And if you listen closely, listen to the tap dancing of the rain. If you listen, you can hear it in the storm, in the raging afterclap. You can hear it, the echo of two people ripping the night in two. I never go home to Dublin because I can't stand the kick. Like, I'll be honest. I live in North Dublin in Darnell, so I'm returning down again. This is called returning. Returning. It is true that these streets keep secrets between the lips, secrets and whispers between the teeth of my former home, the many-faced estate, battered and bruised. That corner wall that used to lean on our backs collapsed one day with exhaustion and slipped onto the road. The lamppost we tied ropes to make swings, genuflected one night, never to raise its head again. Where are all the children? So quiet now, my footsteps wake the birds. Nothing here but cats prowling and crows throwing shapes. Look, Mrs. Kelly, what have you done to your garden? Remnants of sleeping roses and weeds grown out of empty cans. I see the horses have returned, untied, bellies big and swollen, standing, staring aside on these streets. Secrets kept between lips, whispers of playful children and pregnant mothers. Old ghosts hanging on the corner of your eye, sniggering in the creak of gates. The bound jester from shadows, all welcoming you home. I'm finished for my final piece, just I gave up the drink for a while, and as an experiment, I'm like cracking up. So I wrote this one, like, Jesus, this is what it's like. So it's called Life Without Alcohol, an Observational Obituary. So it's, I was told staring at walls, asking yourself questions is healthier. And supposedly, things become crystal clear, like water or the tears that stream down your cheek, transparent, you know, like discovering that peppermint tea truly tastes delicious on Friday nights. I saw two pigeons fucking the feathers off each other on a windowsill on St. Augustine Church this morning. Magical. For once last night, the moon did not dance, and I felt unwanted. The girl with blue eyes in Eglinton Street dropped her jaw on the footpath when I remembered her name. I scooped it up in my palm and kissed her cheek. You said 2 nights ago, I love it when it's hard. You barked at my tone when I said, what the fuck are you talking about? I really never knew I bottled up such anger until I sat huddled around friends in a packed bar in Dominic Street, drinking my waddy, questioning if I stick a knife in this ear will this conversation end. I found pools of fat next to my bed yesterday. It had slid down the covers overnight, straight off my chin. I preferred being told I resembled a panda, as opposed to your skin is glowing. It's something to do with having big fuck off claws and being cuddly at the same time. The language I created every night that I could never remember is now sailing through the cosmos searching for extraterrestrial life. And I've developed a twitch in my left eye listening to the repetition of raindrops. Raindrops tapping the balcony, mimicking my fingers on the table. Thanks.